What a beautiful earth we inhabit. And yet, everything we're hearing and experiencing about what's happening to our earth through climate change is doom and gloom. It can feel like a vast, overwhelming problem. All the fires, hurricanes, floods, record heat waves and droughts we're seeing around the world and in our own backyard seem to be increasing in intensity and frequency, don't they? Scientists tell us that we have less than 11 years to make drastic changes before it's too late to save our Earth as we know it. And 11,000 of the world's scientists released a report at the beginning of this month that declared a climate emergency in which they warned of untold suffering if we don't act immediately. And according to them, the most worrying indicators were the increases in human and livestock population, meat production, tree cover loss, fossil fuel consumption, airplane travel, and carbon dioxide emissions. And Prince Charles said last summer that the next 18 months are actually the most crucial for us to act if we want to reverse this. We need to make substantial changes around the world before the end of 2020. That's how urgent this is. The nonviolent English protest group Extinction Rebellion, who focus on civil disobedience, tried to effect change by blockading London streets and bridges for weeks earlier this year to force parliamentary change, and they were quite successful. They warn us that we may now be causing the sixth mass extinction in Earth's history. The other five were all caused by natural events such as the Ice Age, asteroid strikes, and volcanic eruptions, not by human actions. Extreme weather, sea level rise, wildfires, water shortages, and crop failures will lead to mass diseases, they warn, millions of people being displaced, and an increase in wars and conflicts. In short, we're undergoing a huge threat to humanity's very existence. And the magnitude of this problem is so overwhelming that it's easy to feel defensive or angry or sometimes hopeless or just resigned. And some, as we know, are even in denial about the problem or that we can do anything about it. So much for an uplifting Thanksgiving sermon, right? So what are we to do with this doomsday scenario? What can we actually do when we seem to be careening carelessly in the direction of global destruction and extinction? Well, the Earth, left to our own devices, as you just saw, is perfectly balanced, self-sustaining and whole, a true Garden of Eden. There is no waste. Everything serves everything else and is profoundly interconnected. And the Earth existed in harmony with humans for hundreds of thousands of years before we developed the plow and began collective farming methods. And that expanded agriculture was followed 800 years later by the Industrial Revolution. And although this gave us many useful tools that make our lives easier and more convenient, and it allowed for mass production, it also led to a different kind of thinking. A thinking that valued quantity, speed, consumption, and control over quality, and listening to the rhythms of life and honoring the natural order. That thinking also led us to believe that dominating, mining, and using our Earth rather than working with her was the way to achieve success. And then our post-World War II industries took us to a new level of detachment from our Earth. Now, before 1950, the carbon levels on our planet had remained fairly steady for 400,000 years. And some of you here have the blessing that you were alive at that time. Yeah. But since 1950, they've gone up dramatically to levels that we've never seen before, with conditions under which no human civilization has ever existed. And the past 5 years have been the hottest on record, as have 20 of the last 22 years. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, "We face a direct existential threat. Our fate is in our hands." Our fate, my friends, is in our hands. We need to attend to our earth now, or our children and their children's future may not be assured. We need to go back to working with the laws of nature rather than against them. Last week, two of our members, Pamela and Gordon, pointed me toward an amazing free program called the Drawdown Initiative, offered by the Pachamama Alliance. And Pachamama were named after the Incan Earth Mother and Fertility Goddess. And this program teaches us that we are at such an extreme point right now that we can't simply slow down the damage if we don't want to get to a point of no return. No, we have to stop, turn around, and go the other direction. We literally have to reverse the problem through something called a drawdown. Now, drawdown means taking out more greenhouse gases from the atmosphere through photosynthesis than we're putting in, so that the concentration can decline from year to year. And drawdown is that point in time when greenhouse gases in the atmosphere begin to decline on a year-to-year basis. Now, in his New York Times best-selling book, Drawdown, leading scientists have come up with the 100 most powerful solutions to make this happen. And it's a guide to cause our turnaround from extinction. And I urge you all to rush to your nearest independent bookseller this afternoon and get a copy of this, because it's an extraordinary book that explains everything we can do and the impact it has on our Earth. It's really amazing reading. And interestingly enough, I found this quite astonishing. Scientists found that the most effective combined solution we can do to stem global warming is to educate and empower girls and women in lower income countries. By educating girls above the 10th grade, empowering women to be effective stewards of the land, and providing family planning, we can help curb population growth and encourage sustainable agriculture. Isn't that extraordinary? But they also advise that we have to implement all the 100 solutions listed in that book to actually achieve drawdown. And 8 of the top 20 solutions relate to our food system. Things like reducing food waste, which is number 3, or eating a plant-rich diet, which is number 4. And growing our own food and practicing regenerative agriculture. And there are many other solutions for electricity generation, greening buildings, materials, and cities, for land use and transport. Things like reducing our reliance on air conditioning, which produces refrigerant gases, which go into poisonous refrigerant gases, which go into the environment. And that's actually the number 1 thing that we could do. And using more wind turbines is the number 2 thing we could do. And solar farms to generate energy and regenerate and replenish tropical forests. What the Pachamama Alliance invites us to do is explore which solutions most speak to us and make changes in those areas. They encourage us to move away from a model based on fear and scarcity in which we guilt and shame people for not doing more, and instead encourage us to find what resonates with each one of us, to find the positive impact that each of us can make. So one of you might buy an electric car Or someone else might put solar panels on your roof. Another person might grow their own food or create community gardens or eat vegetarian. We all have our own paths and our own passions. And as the famous Buddhist teacher and climate activist Joanna Macy says, turning around a civilization is difficult, but there's so much we can do. We can all do something, right? So in Drawdown, thank you. In Drawdown, they speak of four levels of action. It's especially exciting when our young people get excited about saving their future. The first is individual action. The second is action with friends and family, the folks that we're directly connected to. The third level is with communities, such as this one, and local institutions. And the fourth is at the level of economic, policy, and law changes. And they recommend that we put particular energy into the communal levels, 2 and 3. And let's look at a little bit what these different levels mean. So individual action can be taken in a multitude of ways. Recently, after our Love Our Planet Forum, which many of you here put on, I was so inspired by some of you to get my own mesh produce bags to take to the grocery store for vegetables. So each time I shop for fruits and vegetables now, I save 5 to 6 plastic bags. And that feels really good. And they're reusable and washable, and you can get them on Amazon easily. I also started using silicone containers instead of plastic baggies for storing food. Now, I know that so many of you are already making changes, whether it's driving electric or hybrid cars, or installing solar panels, or using reusable water bottles, or bringing your own grocery bags to the store, or composting, or eating vegan. Keep up that great work. But the second level is with family and friends. And this Thanksgiving could be a great time to brainstorm with your family about changes that you can make. I was particularly inspired by the story of a young California girl named Alicia Serratos in a film that I saw a few weeks ago called The Need to Grow. And this is Alicia right here when she was 6 years old. And when she was 6 years old, she became a passionate advocate for growing organic food and saving seeds. Now, after learning how to grow her own food and finding out that the world had lost 93% of its seeds, she began something called a seed library and organic garden at her school, saving and then sharing organic seeds with others. And then people would grow their own produce and bring back the seeds to replenish the library. Alicia also began lobbying the Girl Scouts of America to remove GMOs from their Girl Scout cookies. And believe it or not, it took over 5 years for them to listen to her. In 2017, when she was 11, they finally began to make a line of GMO-free cookies. And now, at age 13, Alicia continues her environmental activism. Inspiring, right? Rob Herring, director of the film, reminds us to remember that we are nature. It's not humans over here and nature over there. What is good for the earth is good for its people, and vice versa. By working with the soil and its amazing biodiversity, we learn to respect the soil and feel our humanity and interconnection with the earth more deeply, as the people that made our beautiful bread today will attest. I invite us to create our own organic gardens and improve the local soil, and perhaps even, if you're game, create our own seed library here at Chalice. Wouldn't that be fun? Our forefather, Ralph Waldo Emerson, told us the creation of 1,000 forests is in 1 acorn. So just think of what we could do if we have hundreds, if not thousands, of seeds in jars to share with people. The third level of action is on a community level. And I recently saw a story on PBS News, maybe some of you saw it too, about a nonprofit group called Detroit Hives that started beekeeping on vacant land. It's a program which is revitalizing 45 vacant lots throughout Detroit with 200 beehives. And they're planting vegetable gardens to introduce organic produce, community gardens and urban farms, which increases food security and improves the air and soil quality in derelict urban areas. And then the bees help propagate these gardens. Meanwhile, the people at Detroit Hives teach land conservation to kids and help them get close to and reconnect with nature. Soil can never be killed, they tell us. By feeding it compost and microorganisms, even urban, dried-out soil can come back to a state of vibrancy and nourish both our hearts and our bodies. So learning to nourish our earth and in turn be nourished by her bounty teaches us a mutual, interdependent relationship with our earth. The fourth drawdown level is advocating for economic as well as policy and law change. And the Citizens Climate Lobby, which Dick Elsley is one of our leaders, it meets here monthly, is doing exactly that by advocating for policy change and going to Washington to lobby. I encourage you to talk with Dick if you'd like to find out more.
Second Saturday of the month.
Thank you.
9 a.m. in the fellowship hall.
Second Saturday of the month, 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Join them if you would like to work at this level. Now, all this practical, good information about changes that we can make are important. But what are our deeper spiritual lessons here? Well, I believe that at its foundation, climate degradation comes from a spiritual problem of disconnection. We live in a world in which we've mostly disconnected from ourselves, from each other, and from our sustaining planet. And thinking we're all separate individuals who exist in a hierarchy of worth in our own homes and our own cars allows us to dominate and destroy each other and the earth. And it's a hollow way of thinking. And it's an intersectional justice issue in which the poorest people, often people of color, suffer the most from corporate greed and control. In a paradigm of separation, we think of each to his own and get what you can to make yourself richer. And then economically disadvantaged people and cultures are ignored and suffer. Soil is thought of as dead matter, or the container into which you pour your chemicals. British corporate consultant Max St. John says it's this disconnection from ourselves that leads to the disconnection from each other, that in turn leads to disconnection from our environment, which is the only thing that has enabled us to create this extractive, destructive system that we have in place. He and I agree that we primarily need to restore our sense of connection, to move from stress, competition, and looking for happiness and success by how much we can buy, to reconnecting with one another and our beautiful earth. Now, Max says connection, inclusion, creativity, and celebration are the keys to a genuinely better future. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? As our children's story earlier reminded us, do you remember the words? Love multiplies, hatred divides. So we should make bumper stickers of that too, don't you think? How can we multiply love? Well, my friends, if our goal is to reverse global warming, we ultimately need to move our entire system towards a more related, connected, loving way of being. Towards a civilization that flourishes on our mutual interdependence and respect. A And this also upholds our seventh Unitarian Universalist principle of respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Remember the climate activists' Extinction Rebellion, which I talked about earlier? They say if you can get 3.5% of the world's population on board, you can affect systemic change. Now that sounds achievable, doesn't it? 3.5%? We can reverse global warming, but we have to act now, right? As Gandhi said, we have to be the change we want to see. So, what are some of the things that we can do right away on an individual and systemic level? I've included an insert in your order of service with some ideas that you can take home with you and act on right away, but I encourage you to wait and read it when the sermon's over and talk about it at home or over a meal or over coffee or even bring it out at Thanksgiving. On the back, there are some simple communal steps that you can take right here at Chalice, things like taking the free Pachamama class online and talking with your family about our precious earth over your Thanksgiving meal. But I encourage you to approach it from how we might help our earth flourish, rather than who's right or wrong or who's doing more or less than anybody else. Also, I encourage you to attend our inspiring Need to Grow community forum on December 6th. Or you can participate in our climate action team or Citizens Climate Lobby. All of the teachers that I've mentioned encourage us to know and care for our local environment and use education, community organization, and the law to challenge development. Now, there's been so much messaging to use less and reduce and restrict. But one of the farmers involved with the Need to Grow initiative, Farmer Rishi Kumar, warns us that this approach actually contracts and depresses many of us and leaves us with a sense of hopelessness. So he encourages us instead to increase our footprint through the many things that we can do to heal the earth. Things like we can compost, or we can plant trees, we can create a seed garden, we can support our local farmers by going to the farmers market, we can eat more plant-based, and we can help bring water systems back into balance. My friends, we can push climate change in the direction of balance and steadiness through our positive actions. We can actually make climate change for good. Right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'm passionate about this, in case you can't tell. So I invite us all to gather in this important work. So I invite you now to take a moment to close your eyes and reflect on how you feel knowing that there are solutions to reverse global warming if we attend to our earth. Is there something here that you can do? Is there something that you feel inspired to try? Is there a way our congregation can make a greater difference together? I invite you to keep your eyes closed as you reflect on this, and I share words by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run with the Wolves. Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. Any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world, will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring God, enduring good. What is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts, adding, adding to, adding more, and continuing. We know that it doesn't take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small, determined group who will not give up during the first, second, and hundredth gale. When a great ship is in harbor and moored, it is safe, there can be no doubt. But that is not what great ships are built for. My friends, each and every one of us here is a great ship built for a time such as this. May we raise our sails high in the midst of this storm, and may we attend to our beautiful blue-green home with love. May it be so. And now, to remind us of the preciousness of our earth and our connection to it and to one another, I invite you to join us in our Thanksgiving bread celebration now. The breaking of bread is an ancient ritual of community and connection celebrated in many different traditions and in many different ways. Various cultures offer food as a gift to bring people together, to heal discord, to comfort one another, and to honor the bounty of our earth and her abundant gifts. Today, as we approach Thanksgiving, we break bread together to celebrate the blessing we find in community and in the gift of family and friends. We honor the abundance and beauty of our earth and the hard work of all who make our lives possible. Now, this beautiful bread is a reminder that we can come together as sacred community to make a difference for our planet as we share food and fellowship. May this bread remind us of how we depend on our earth and on one another, from those who grew the food and harvested it to those who baked it and brought it here. And I want to offer particular gratitude to Mike Podereco and Susan Fagan and Mark Griset for baking this delicious fresh bread for us all. As the bread is passed to you, take a piece from the basket and eat it mindfully, in doing so honoring our Mother Earth, our source of life. You may wish to bring to mind what you're thankful for the goodness in your life. And as you pass the basket to the person next to you, I invite you to turn to them and say, "May we care for our earth." Repeat after me, simple words, "May we care for our earth." And we also have a gluten-free vegan option that I baked specially yesterday. So please raise your hand if you'd like that, and I'll bring it to you. We now offer you the bounty of the earth. May it be blessed just as we are blessed by it. May we care for our earth. Vegan, gluten-free, anyone? vegan, gluten-free. Vegan, gluten-free bread.
Sure, thank you.
May we indeed care for our beloved earth. And I invite you all to join us in Fellowship Hall after the service to share in this beautiful bread that is not only beautiful, but delicious.